Well, good morning, church. It is good to be reminded that we have no other king than Jesus. And it's good to be reminded that Jesus, as the king of the universe, will never be up for re-election. It is not a vote. He has declared it through his finished work on the cross. And that is why we gather this morning to worship our risen King. If you have a Bible, I would invite you to join me in Galatians chapter 5. Once you find Galatians 5, I want you to hold there and then go a few pages, one or two pages over to your right, and find Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at both of those passages this morning, or passages from both of those chapters. They're going to be short. We are going to go back to our series on the fruit of the Spirit. The plan is that Pastor Nate will be back with us next Sunday morning to continue us in that series, but we're going to step into it today. We're going to look at the fruit of patience and see what the Word of God has to tell us about patience. I know you're excited to hear about it. I can tell you, if you think you're excited, you should have tried studying it for 2 weeks. So if you are able, will you stand with me as we read God's word together? We're going to read in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 4 and look at verses 1 through 3. Here's what the word of God says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to look at the first three verses there. Paul writing says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word, that it is an eternal, unchanging word in a very changing and shifting time. You tell us that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And so, God, may your word in our hearts and in our lives stand today. May the things that I say that are not from you, may they quickly fall to the floor and be forgotten. May the things that your Spirit has prompted in me, may they sink deep into our hearts so that you, by your Spirit, would make us more like Christ. So that you would be glorified in our lives and that we would find joy in you and your gospel would go forth. It's for the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Now, I know that some of you in this room, you have a type A personality, and you are struggling in this moment because Paul has this list of the fruit, and it starts with love and then it goes to joy, and we are not talking about joy today, right? So we're supposed to do it in the order that it comes in. Well, every commentator that you read on the fruit of the Spirit will tell you that actually there is no real ordering to this, that Paul doesn't have an intentional order here. He's just listing them kind of as they come to mind. So that gives us the ability to take them in whatever order we want. So we're going to do that a little bit today. And for those of you who are type A, just to drive you crazy this morning, we're going to patience. We aren't going to skip joy and peace. We will come back to those at some point. But it's good for us to look at this. It's been good for me to study it. It's been a few weeks, I know, since we were in this series, but if you remember back to when we talked about love, Pastor Nate kind of laid out an outline of the way we're going to walk through each of the fruit. And so since we're dealing with patience today, here's the way we're going to do it. We're going to define patience, then we'll discuss patience in action. We'll see the dangers of neglecting patience, and then we'll talk about how we develop patience. So four things that we're going to quickly walk through this morning. So we're going to begin diving right into defining patience. Defining patience. The Greek word that is used in Galatians 5 that the ESV translates is patience is makrothumia. Depending on your translation, it could also be translated as long-suffering. Could be translated as forbearance. But when we begin to think about defining this word, really, we must begin with God. Because when it comes to defining patience, particularly out of the Bible, we begin with God's patience towards us. Right? When we define patience, we begin with God's patience toward us. When we talked about love and we discussed love, then we had to start with God's love toward us. And the same is true when it comes to patience. And one of the best places that we see the way the patience of God is described toward us is in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus 34, in verse 6, this is what we read. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. So he's talking to Moses. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now we don't hear the word patience in that verse. However, if you look at the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that phrase, slow to anger, it's the same word that's used in Galatians 5 for patience. That the Lord, what he's doing is he is displaying his character to Moses. He's revealing his glory to Moses. And one of the key attributes that he lists is that he is slow to anger, that he is patient with his people. And you have to understand the full context of Exodus 34. Right before it, in chapter 32 and 33, the Israelites decide while Moses is up on the mountain, they're going to make a golden calf as an image to worship who represents God for them. They want to see a visible image of God. It's ironic that while Moses is on Mount Sinai receiving a commandment not to make an image of God, the Israelites are at the base of Sinai making an image to represent God. And so they do this, they begin to worship it. God tells Moses this is going on. Moses comes down from the mountain, and in his righteous anger, he smashes the Ten Commandments, the two tablets that the commandments are on. And God tells Moses, listen, it's time for the people to move on. You've been at Sinai for a while, and it's time for you to go to the Promised Land, but I'm not going to go with you when you go. And Moses says, no, we won't go without you. Please, you brought us out of Egypt. What are we to do? And God says, okay, I'm going to reveal to you, as Moses prays, I'm going to reveal to you who I am. And this is what he says. In the midst of their sin, in the midst of their immediate breaking of a commandment that I'm going to give and am giving them, I'm going to be slow to anger. I'm going to be patient with people. That it's in the midst of their sin that God's patience is so greatly displayed. If anybody's interacted with children for longer than a few minutes, you understand what this is talking about, right? When children are listening to you, obeying you, doing everything that you ask them to do right when you ask them to do it, nobody needs patience. It's when they begin to do their own thing. It's when they begin to rebel and decide they're the ones who are going to be in charge that patience is required. And that patience, it looks like knowing, like, this is just going to take a long time for you to figure this kind of stuff out, and so I'm going to have to be patient with you. And this is the kind of patience that God demonstrates toward us. Because we are sinful and rebellious people. We choose to walk in our own way and ignore the will and the ways of God, and yet he is patient with us. He is patient with all of us. You know how I know he's patient? You woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve breath in my lungs. I didn't deserve for my heart to beat all night long. I didn't deserve for the neurons in my brain to fire to tell me to wake up and go about my Sunday morning routine. I didn't, none of that, right? And in the midst of my sin from yesterday, in the midst of my impatience last night, what God could have done was let me be done with him, be done with me. But he is patient. When we think about patience, we must begin with God's patience towards us and how great his patience toward us is. Also, when we think about patience and defining it, we have to understand that patience is a choice. Patience is something that we must choose. Paul kind of speaks to this when he's writing to the believers in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. In the context of chapter 3, Paul has said before this that they need to put off some things, to put off sin, to put off all of the things that that God is against, and to begin to put on new things. Put off the old, put on the new. We talked about this when we looked at love, right? We must make a choice in the way that we are going to respond to God. Now we know, we read Galatians 5, that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Meaning the Spirit will produce it in you. And it just so happens that one of the ways the Spirit is going to produce patience in you is by you choosing to be more patient. We're not simply passive when it comes to patience. And this makes sense just in our lives, right? None of you, if you were hungry, would just simply pray and ask God to bring you some food. Right? What you would do is you wouldn't sit down at the dinner table, put the plates on there, bow your head, pray, and then expect to open your eyes and there miraculously be food on your plate. No, you go and you work to earn money so that you can go and you can buy food and you can prepare it and you can put it on the table. And then when you've done all that, what do? You bow your head and you thank God that he provided what you're about to eat. Now, that's not a perfect analogy to this, but the Spirit is going to produce patience in you. It's his fruit that he's going to produce, and you have to choose to be patient. You decide that impatience, short-temperedness, anger are going to be things that you put off in your life. And to replace them, you put on patience. It begins with God's patience toward us. It's something that we choose. And so let me give you, as we think about patience, let me give you a short definition of patience. What I believe that as we look at the word and how it works itself out, here's a short definition of patience. True patience is a spirit-wrought internal and external control in a difficult situation or toward difficult people. A spirit-wrought internal and external control in a difficult situation or toward difficult people. We see it in God's patience, right? It's toward other people. It's internal, external control, right? We are going to exhibit, we are going to choose not to be angry. We're going to choose not to be short-tempered. And it comes up in difficult situations and toward difficult people. The Spirit of God produces it. We choose it. And it looks like the appropriate godly response in a given difficult situation or toward difficult people. So the question then comes in, right? If this is internal and external control that the Spirit does in a difficult situation, how does this work itself out? Well, let's look at patience in action. Patience in action. When we think about patience in action, as we've looked at different texts about it this morning, one thing is clear. It's worked out in relation to other people. We see this most clearly in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. Those verses that we read, you might remember that those were that was the verse that we memorized as a church back in July when we were looking at patience and memorizing on the fruit of patience. And Paul is talking about, in one way, how patience works itself out in the church. And so I want to give you three things that we note from Ephesians chapter 4. About patience in action. How does it work itself out? Patience in action. The first thing to note is that patience is a result of the gospel. Patience is a result of the gospel. Look at what Paul says in verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He's urging them to do something, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they've been called. And he says that one of the ways they walk in that manner is by being patient toward one another. And so what's the calling to which they have been called? It's everything that Paul has talked about in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians. In chapter 1, he describes their calling as having every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He described it as being adopted children of God, being united to Christ in his resurrection and his exaltation. In chapter 2, he describes their calling as being reconciled to God and to other people. He describes it as being members of one household. There are countless ways that Paul describes our calling and the calling to which we have been called. And the point Paul is making here in Ephesians 4:1 is that the gospel has implications for how we live. And those implications are to be patient with one another. Patience is a result of the work of the gospel in our lives. The second thing we note from these verses is that patience flows out of humility and gentleness. Patience flows out of humility and gentleness. We see that in verse 2. Humility and gentleness should be one of the defining marks of a believer. Here's why. When you remember what you were before Christ saved you, it should humble you. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, Paul says, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. You were dead. You were going after the things of the world with no love for God, no desire for God. And out of that deadness, through the Spirit, God made you alive in Christ. You didn't do anything to save yourself. God did it. All of us were in the same place. We didn't do anything to save ourselves. Instead, God did, and this should humble us. Do we walk in humility? To walk in gentleness toward one another is to remember that you and I are not as far along in our sanctification as we should be, probably. That we are all going to sin. That we all are going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or do the wrong thing at the wrong time. And so we will have grace for one another. We gently interact with one another. We gently exhort, correct, and rebuke one another. We check the log that is in our own eye before we reach to take out the speck in another's. Patience will flow out of humility and gentleness. The final thing we see in this when it comes to patience in action is we see that patience leads to love and unity. Patience leads to love and unity. He tells us that with patience, we will bear with one another in love and be more readily eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And that makes sense if you just think about the flow of what Paul is saying, that if we understand the truth of the gospel, the reality of what is ours in Christ, that we have been adopted by God, that when we were sinners far from God, he had mercy on us. And that humbles us and makes us gentle with one another. It's going to build patient love with each other. And as we are patiently loving one another, it brings unity. And the kind of unity that grows in the midst of patient love, it looks beautiful. And all of that is rooted in the truth of the gospel, that this is what Christ has done for us. All of it is rooted not in our ability to be patient, but in the truth that we are in Christ and he was perfectly patient. And so we now have the ability to do that. It works itself out. It leads to love and unity together. This is patience in action. It has to be worked out first and foremost among our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when it's not worked out among our brothers and sisters in Christ, the effects are devastating. And so let me walk us through just a few things of the dangers of neglecting patience. We've seen it in action and what it can produce, love and unity. So what are the dangers of neglecting patience? Right, what are the dangers of neglecting the fruit of the Spirit? What are the dangers of ignoring the Spirit as it works in our lives? Well, you're going to notice a theme. Let me give you three dangers for neglecting patience. The first one is this: neglecting patience creates resentment toward God and others. Neglecting patience creates resentment toward God and others. If patience is a result of the gospel and flows out of our humility and gentleness, then when we neglect patience, what's happening is we have taken our focus off of those particular things. And when we take our focus off all that God has done for us in the gospel that leads to our humility and gentleness, when we take our attention off of that, we have to put it on something else. And inevitably, all of us will take our attention, when we take our attention off of God, we put it on ourselves. And that can be so dangerous for us. Because when we begin to focus our attention inwardly, it leads to resentment toward God. Because when you begin to focus on yourself, you'll start to see all the things that God's not doing for you. You can become frustrated and angry that he's not answering your prayers in the way that he wants. Or when life brings hard circumstances or moments of suffering, we can begin to think, well, that's God's not supposed to do that to me. After all, when we're focused inwardly, we're the most important person in the world. It should revolve around us. And that resentment toward God, it'll eventually move over to other people. Every single one of us, in our sinful nature, we believe that we would be really good if it wasn't for other people. All of us blame other people for our own sin. That's what happened with the very first sin. If you're familiar with Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin, and God comes to them, and he asks Adam, "What have you done?" And do you know Adam's response? "Listen, God, the woman that you gave me, she took the fruit, she gave it to me, and I ate it." In that response, you see his resentment toward God and his resentment toward his wife, Eve. Right? "It's the woman that you gave me, God. This wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have placed her here with me. So this is your fault. And if it's not your fault, then really she's the one, right? She's the one who took it. She's the one who gave it to me. She's the reason that I'm sinful right now. It's not me." Our lack of patience, taking our eyes off of God and what he's done in the gospel, it turns us inward and it leads to resentment. And has a deadly path to walk down. Resentment never builds up, it only tears down. Resentment hardens our hearts to the things of God and the working of the Spirit. When we neglect patience, it creates resentment toward God and other people. Second, neglecting patience keeps us from loving others. It keeps us from loving others. This is the negative outflow of what Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4. When we walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, we will be patient with one another, and that patience helps us love others. Well, the opposite is also true. Our lack of patience will greatly affect our ability to love. And when we lack love, it makes the gospel unattractive to the world. And that's devastating to the church. It's devastating because a lack of love for one another ultimately leads to the third danger. Neglecting patience disrupts and destroys unity. Neglecting patience, it disrupts and destroys unity. Our love toward one another is supposed to be patient and kind. That's what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. Too often we've forgotten that 1 Corinthians 13, that amazing chapter on love, it's written to a church. So when Paul talks about love, he does not primarily have in mind the love between a husband and a wife. He has in mind the love that we as members of this body should have for one another. And he calls us to be patient. And our love for one another, but when we neglect patience, it keeps us from loving one another, and we cannot maintain the unity of the Spirit. And unity of the Spirit is essential for the church. Let me tell you why. Because before Jesus goes to the cross, he spends some time with his disciples. And in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Daniel eloquently last week unpacked verses 1 through 6 of chapter 14 in Jesus' kind of discourse there. But in chapter 17, Jesus kind of wraps it up by praying. And he prays for his specific disciples that he has there, but he also prays for those who will believe on him. And this is what he prays in verse 20 of John 17, 20 and 21. He says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Unity together, that we would be one, so that," here's the reason, "the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus ties the spread of the gospel to the unity of the church. When we are one, when we are maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, when we are lovingly patient with one another, It will make the gospel more believable to the world. And it will do that because the gospel is the only thing that unites people who are supposed to not be united. It unites people from different backgrounds, ethnicities, political affiliations, socioeconomic situations, cultures of all kinds. And the beauty of the gospel, it doesn't make us change all of our personality. It doesn't make us just this monolith of people. No, instead, the beauty of the gospel is the unity that comes from the diversity it brings. And that happens as we are patient with one another. As we recognize that we unite around the gospel and there are essentials that we do not change on, but also that there's going to be a diverse amount of opinion. And we understand not everybody's going to think the same way that we do or come to the same conclusions that we are. But we can be patient for the sake of unity as we strive to listen, to understand, and to love one another. And when we neglect patience, it disrupts and destroys the unity of the church. And that's detrimental to the spread of the gospel. And so for the calling for us, if we are followers of Christ, is simple. We should seek to develop patience. We should seek to see that fruit of the Spirit more manifest in our lives. So how do we do it? Well, as we close out, let me give you three ways I believe you can develop patience. Three things we can do to develop patience. Number one, abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Now, I know for a lot of us that doesn't sound very spectacular, but that has to be first. It has to be the first thing we do because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And in John 15, Jesus tells us that if we abide in him, then we will produce fruit. In other words, you just can't white knuckle your way to patience. Right? Paul says that in Galatians 5. After he lists the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's an abiding idea, that we will abide in Christ through the power of the Spirit. We must seek after Christ. Remember that we are united to him, and that through our union with Christ, we have the ability to be patient. Not because you're really good at it, but because he was perfectly patient. And so to abide in Christ, you do the things we repeat over and over again to you, these habits of grace or spiritual disciplines. We spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God. We spend time praying based off what the Word has told us. We set aside times to fast, to seek solitude with God. We confess sin both to God and to one another when it's necessary. We serve one another. We give these things. This helps us abide in Christ. And as we abide, he will produce the spirit of patience in us. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't put forth effort, right? We've already kind of said this, but I love what the author Dallas Willard so eloquently says when he put it this way, that grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. And so we do put forth effort. So for those of us who love the practical, let me give you two of the most practical things that I could think of that help us develop patience. Number two on developing patience, stop thinking the world revolves around you. I hope that's practical enough. Stop thinking the world revolves around you. If we honestly evaluate our lives and ourselves, we must confess that our impatience almost always arises because we feel inconvenienced. And I'm pretty sure I want to take out the almost. It always arises because we feel inconvenience. We want our ways and our priorities to take precedence over everyone and everything. And when they aren't met, then we become impatient and angry. So let me let you in on a secret. You are not the center of the universe. I am not the center of the universe. Your spouse, your kids, they are not the center of the universe. There is one center of the universe, and his name is Jesus, and you are not him. I am not him. We don't like to admit that our impatience comes from thinking the world revolves around us. But if you think, it's true, right? When you get impatient with the other driver in front of you, it's because you have to be somewhere, And you should not be slowed down or bothered by all of these things. When I get impatient and angry with my kids at night, it's because I want to place my needs and my priorities about what I want to do ahead of everything else that's going on in their lives. When you get impatient and angry with your coworkers, it's because they're not placing your needs as utmost in their mind. How dare they? And we could go through all kinds of different circumstances and situations in your life, and you will find that impatience happens when we place ourselves at the center of the universe and it doesn't revolve around us. If you want to develop patience, stop thinking the world revolves around you. Change your mindset. And so let me give you a thing to help you change that mindset. This is the third thing that you can do to develop patience. Put yourself in situations that will force you to be patient. Put yourself in situations that will force you to be patient. Most of us avoid anything that makes us have to wait. We want to get things done as quickly as possible and move on. This was bred into me early on in my life. When I grew up, if you're around Amarillo or the Panhandle, you might think that Amarillo has really bad traffic. That's not the case at all. I grew up about 15 to 20 miles outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And my first job was in downtown Nashville, about 10 minutes from where my dad worked. And so every morning we would ride into the city. Remember, it's probably about a 15 mile, 17 mile drive in. We would go into the city and every afternoon we'd come out. And every afternoon he would make me drive home through traffic. So the 17 miles, 45 to an hour long commute to get home. And your entire goal, the entire time you're driving, is to get in the lane that's moving the fastest. And you will do whatever you need to do to switch lanes, to get there, and to do what all you've got to do, because the one thing you don't want to do is stop. And that just breeds impatience in you. And so when we have that, right, when we grow up and we are formed in a culture that is all about you getting what you want as quickly as you want, it's hard to develop patience. So what are some things that we can do? Well, you know your life. But maybe instead of taking the shortcut to work, you need to take a longer route. Maybe when the light turns yellow, instead of hitting the gas, you need to hit the brakes. I know we're in a global pandemic, so this might not apply, but I'm not recommending you going into the grocery store. But maybe when this is passed, instead of ordering your groceries online and going to pick them up, maybe you need to go and actually shop for them. Maybe when you order something, instead of having Amazon ship it to you in 2 days, you know there's an option when you go to check out that you can tell them to ship it slower. You probably didn't know that. But they'll do it, and in fact, they'll give you some money to ship it slower to you. Now you're intrigued. Maybe you need to just decide at night, I'm going to set aside everything that I want to do, and I'm going to carve out some time for us just to sit together as a family. Maybe you need to work to put your coworker ahead of yourself. You know your life. You know what the circumstances and situations that you can place yourself into to make you feel or to make you be more patient. But let me give you two quick warnings as you attempt to do this. First warning is this: start small. Don't pick the most difficult thing in your life and decide that's the thing that I'm going to work to make me more patient, because that's going to make you fail most likely at it. Start small. Second thing that I would recommend is commit to do it for the long haul. You're not going to develop a lot of patience in 1 week. You're probably not going to develop a ton of patience in a month. Fruit grows slow. And sometimes for some trees, it takes years to see fruit produced, but the fruit is always worth it. Be ready to seek after patience for the long haul. Patience, it's a result of the gospel working itself out in our lives. We can be patient people because we have been shown great patience by God. And through the power of the Spirit, we can grow in our loving patience toward one another. And so, church, let's abide in Christ, trusting His Spirit to produce the fruit of patience. And in our abiding, let's put forth the grace-fueled effort to be more patient, because it will always lead to more joy in Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, you have been so patient with us. You have been so kind to us. And so God, we pray that you would make us a more patient people. That we would abide in you. That we would trust that your Spirit can produce patience in us. And so God, take our minds off of ourselves and place them on Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, making it possible for us to endure these things. Give us wisdom as we strive to just put ourselves in small situations that can make us more patient. And as you, by your Spirit, develop patience in us, grow our unity together so that the world will see the good news and the glory of the gospel. It's for the name of Christ we pray. Amen. This morning, if you recognize that you don't have any of the fruit of the Spirit because you don't have the Spirit and you want to know more about the gospel, if you're comfortable coming now, I would love to talk with you about that. If not, you can find me after the service or contact someone you know to be a believer. We would love to talk with you about the gospel. For those of us who are here who are in Christ, we most likely need to just pray that God would produce the spirit of patience in our life and worship him for the ways he's already done it.